change.
Blog
to open
Talk
up the
Radio.
Show, talk about Misha Tate, so me and Evan can bounce that back and forth.
Yo, 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 it's Lynn Keys, Real Talk, episode, I have no idea what episode it is, but, so, what up, Evan, how you doing?
Good, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on, Evan?
Not too much, I didn't know.
Man, I'm doing spectacular, Evan, I'm doing spectacular, I'm glad you asked, I'm very glad you asked. So, I'm going to tell you this, right off the bat, I fell asleep for the fights this past weekend, and I saw most of the fights, but I'll tell you this, Evan. I know you talked a big game about your boy Vittori. You talked a big game about him going into the fight, and you were right. You were right, and we were wrong. You said it, and we should have listened, and that was what it was. But the thing is this. I fell asleep for his fight, and it wasn't because he fought. I just couldn't last, man. I was too many bears in. I couldn't keep my eyes open, and I was gone. I would have needed toothpicks, basically, to keep my eyes open during that fight. Man, and it was an entertaining fight, too. It's not even like it was a Habib fight or something, and I could have passed out. Like, this was an actually entertaining fight, but I just couldn't, for the life of me, stay up, man. I knocked out so bad, and I didn't even get to see the boxing fight either. I didn't even get to see the Errol Spence fight. I don't even know what time that was on. I lost track of the remote. I lost track of the stream. I don't know where any of the fights were at. I was just a complete not control. And I missed a couple of fights that I wanted to see. But it's okay because I needed the sleep. But I'm going to ask you this. Evan, we're gonna get to you and talk about Vittori. But first, I want to ask Lee, since I didn't get to see this fight at all, because I know Vittori did well, you know, but I heard about it, but I didn't see anything from the Errol Spence fight. And I'm going to hand this over to Lee, and I got to ask you, what did we see in Errol Spence versus Danny Garcia this past Saturday night? What did you see in that fight?
It really was a technical type. Did you see the fight, Evan?
Sadly, no. I didn't know what time it started, so when I went to go check it out, I missed it.
Yeah, it came on right after the main event came on, right after the Vittori Hermanson fight. But look, since you didn't see the fight, let's kick this around a bucket. The news of Misha Tate coming back. What was your initial thoughts on Misha Tate?
Oh, boy.
We got time.
Honestly, that was my, like, I forget who the Twitter page or the article, like, who posted that she was coming back, but I saw it, and I was like, immediately I just started thinking. I was like, all right, well, you know, she fought at 135. She's not going to go to 125. Does she want to go 145? But even before all those questions, she does some dealings with ONE Championship. So I wonder if she'd fight there or if she'd go back to UFC or Bellator, all kinds of stuff. But her return is exciting. If she feels that she can come back, I mean, in all respect, Ronda did it and didn't work out for Ronda. But, you know, let's see what Misha can do. I, for one, I'm excited to see what she how she looks and how she feels.
All right. So I'm going to ask you one more question. I'm going to jump in. All right. She when she retired, she said she felt it in the middle of the fight that she wasn't in it anymore. That, you know, she didn't even know why she was in there. To me, that's a bad sign. Especially in the middle of a fight that you feel that way. Now, with her announcing or whatever it was, saying that, you know, that she might be coming back or whatever. How do you see her fitting into the landscape at 135? I know she can't beat, I don't think she can beat Nunes. I think
her beat by her man.
Yeah, I think her and Jermaine Durant and me will probably be an okay fight. I really don't want to see her versus Holly Holm. I just don't know where she fit in the landscape. What are your thoughts?
It really breaks down to like which company does she go to, you know? Because I don't know anything about. I don't even know if ONE Championship has, like, a female 135. And I know that's terrible to say, but I know they have, like, you know, the smaller female weight classes. I just haven't seen a lot of the bigger female weight classes, but I'll have to look into that. But let's just say she goes to UFC. I don't think Nunes is going to be fighting much longer. So I think, as you mentioned, JDR, Jermaine is a great opponent. And if she can beat Jermaine, and a rematch with Holly could work. You know, Holly, she looked good in her last fight, but, like, you could sell some tickets off that Holly rematch. I think that'd be cool.
All right, I'm going to throw some names out to you. At 135, we got GDR, who we just talked about. We know she already fought Holly Holm. Aspen Ladd.
What actually scares me is Aspen Ladd has trouble making 135, yet she looks like someone who should be fighting like 125. Like, she just doesn't look built for the division, yet she's had like weight cutting issues to the point where like you see her on the scale shaking and like barely being able to move. So like, I don't know. I want to see Misha Tate in that one, just off raw experience, championship mentality. But
okay,
I don't know.
All right, here's a good one: Irene Aldana.
I think if Irene could keep it on the feet and keep it away from a grappling fight, which I think is the obvious thing, she'd probably piece up Misha. Because I didn't really catch the Holly Holm Aldana fight, but I think that's what like Holly did. She kind of made it more of an MMA fight versus like a boxing fight, and I think that's what you had to do. So that's a 50-50 for me. I'm not sure on that one.
Okay. What about this name? Very controversial name. Definitely has looked good here lately. Sajora Eubanks.
I think she should probably handle Eubanks pretty respectfully. I think she's just probably going to be an overall better fighter. And I think also Eubanks is one of those fighters that's smaller for the weight class, but just hasn't been able to make the weight for that smaller weight class.
Why is it like that?
But hey, whatever works, right?
Yeah, man. Well, I know Keys had kicked it to me about the boxing, but since you was on, I wanted to talk about the Misha Tate news. Actually, me personally, I think if Misha comes back, I would probably get her like a Macy Chaser, maybe as a return fight. You know, I probably wouldn't put her in there against a top five fighter off the bat. I'm kind of excited about Misha coming back. You know, I'm quite sure that the way she went away probably wasn't the most ideal way to go away, you know, but she did what was best for her. She's a mother now, so, you know, let's see what happens, man. I'm kind of excited about her coming back, especially with Nunez probably. I'm thinking it's probably Nunez's last. Maybe 2021 will probably be Nunez's last year fighting. You know, she don't really have nothing else to prove. So, you know, seeing how Misha come back, that'd be great. It'll probably add a little juice to the division. There's some fighters out there she haven't fought before. A lot of the old 135ers are gone, you know, so we got a lot of new, fresh, new talent. So I think the only person that's been around when Misha was there was Holly Holm, Raquel Pennington, Juliana Pena, and I think that's it. So, hey, it's some fights for her to some fights out there for Misha, but like you said, we don't know. I think she still had fights on her UFC deal, so I think she's still kind of contracted to the UFC. But, you know, who knows, man? You know, business is business, and we'll see what happens.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, Keys, you back?
You know, I think Misha Tate, I thought she had some kind of deal with ONE Championship. I could see her going over there to fight.
No,
I could more likely see her going over to ONE to fight. But I think the UFC, I mean, the division really isn't that. The women's divisions really still aren't, you know, it's kind of funny because when you look at it, like, a lot of people say, the first wave of people, you know, probably the most annoying of any of the critics of the UFC's female divisions say that Ronda Rousey was never any good, which is absolutely hilarious because she was actually very good. And the critique that goes with that is that, you know, they said the 135 didn't have any contenders for her at the time, which, you know, they didn't. I mean, they had a couple, but some of the girls that she was fighting would never be in a title fight today, which is a testament to the competition that's there today. Like Besh Correa would, I mean, either she had a huge decline, you know, from point A to point B, or she was just never, you know, the division was just a lot weaker to where she was able to be in a title fight. You know, at the time, they really didn't have as many people for her to fight. And the point of what I'm getting to is that I think Misha Tate, I don't, how old is Misha Tate? 34?
Damn, is she that old?
Hold on,
I mean, that
I
was
just
a guess. I don't know.
You know, she's 34. She's 34.
Wow, how did I guess that on point?
Yeah, she's still fairly young.
That was just an off the top of my head guess. But I think she could compete. I think she could compete with today's 135. I think there'd be a few tough fights, but I think she could beat a lot of these girls, to be honest.
Well, all right, man. Let's jump into this, man. Let's jump into my man Tony Ferguson, man, throwing his weight around, telling Charles Oliveira, don't come in overweight. If you come in overweight, we ain't fighting. You know, it seemed like my man Tony Ferguson was flexing on Oliveira. How did you feel about that, Keys?
So does Oliveira have a history of missing weight? I want to say he does.
Only when he was fighting at 145.
Okay. Didn't Ferguson used to fight at 145 at one time too?
I don't remember him fighting at 145.
I thought he was a 145er at one point, but maybe I thought he fought Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson
was
at 145. Michael Johnson was at 155. Michael Johnson's at 45 now.
I think he's fluctuating. I think he's kind of going up and down.
It's kind of confusing, man. It's hard to know what division guys are in nowadays. They move so many divisions. It's kind of tough.
No, I agree.
It's tough
agree.
To know. But
I think guys are moving divisions because they're just trying to have fights so they can get paid in this COVID time. So I think that's why you see a lot of guys fighting at different weight classes, because depending on where they're at and they're training, they might not be able to make their preferred weight. So they'll fight a weight class up. So I just think during this little COVID time, that's why guys are jumping around. I think once things, probably 2021, you'll see things stable out a little bit. Now that the UFC has a game plan on what they want to do with their fights, where the fight's going to be at, I think next year you'll see guys staying at one division. If they do move, it'll be a permanent move. It won't be a jump back and forth. But go ahead, Keys.
That's a really good point. So for Oliveira, my thing is, well, for Ferguson, actually, based on that, you know, I can respect that if Oliveira's weight isn't where it should be. You know, if he doesn't come in on point, Ferguson doesn't want to fight, and I respect that. I mean, obviously, from the fan perspective, it'd be disappointing. It'd definitely be disappointing for me because I definitely want to see Ferguson fight, so I'm hoping that Oliveira comes in on point. I'm just wondering, when he said that, did he say, like, Oliveira has to come in, you know, 155, 156, or we're not fighting? Or was it like if he misses weight by, you know, 4 or 5 pounds? Did he say?
Yeah, he said 3 to 4 pounds.
He said if he comes in 3 to 4 pounds over? Well.
Yeah, because he's not trying to fight, you know, someone who's got like a 4-plus pound, not like advantage, but more so like the fact that, like, you know, everyone always says those last 4 pounds are always the worst. And he's not depleting his body the same as Tony would be.
Yeah.
Wow, Evan. Evan, that was, you know, that I had never even heard that before. And I'm not saying that it doesn't get said. I'm sure it does. Lee probably said that on our show before. I didn't even know about that. So you just taught me something right there. So thank you.
Yeah, they dehydrate their bodies to make weight. And then once they weigh in the morning, basically they start hydrating all over again. So normally you'll have a guy weigh in at, let's say, 155. By the time he get in the ring, he's probably up to like maybe 162, 163, you know, depending on how much they hydrate. So, you know, that's just the way the game go.
So how are you guys feeling about – I mean, I know you kind of – you ask me, I'm asking you, because what I'm thinking is this. When I was at work today, I was thinking about the ins and outs of this fight. And what I thought to myself was it's very difficult to pick. This is a very difficult fight to pick. And a lot of people feel like – and I think it's an understandable critique – and I even think this to an extent. I'm a believer in this to an extent that the UFC, you know, and guys like Joe Rogan, you know, some of the commentary UFC, a lot of the previews, you know, a lot of the build-ups to fights, they say this is going to be the biggest fight of all time. You know what I mean? They'll say this is going to be the biggest lightweight fight of all. You know what I mean? They say all these things, and you know, it seems like so many fights they say that for. But this fight here, man, I'm gonna tell you this. I can't think of another fight this year that was between two guys who I feel like it was any more competitive. I can't think of a more competitive fight, of a more closely matched fight, of a more of having two guys that were any more well-rounded than this fight. That's what I'm trying to say. I feel like Oliveira has the skills on the ground. Ferguson has the skills on the ground to where these two guys might not even want to go to the ground out of respect. At the same time, they both can stand and bang. We know they both can strike, both, you know, decent strikers, both can hang in that department. I would point out that Ferguson probably does more damage. I would say Ferguson likely does a good amount more damage than Oliveira typically does. But then at the same time, Oliveira also is a finisher, and Oliveira likes to get people, you know, likes to get guys out of there in the first one or two rounds, whether he submits them in the first round or he gets a second round TKO. That's what I've seen from him in his last couple of fights. And it even goes further than that. I mean, Oliveira is on like a 7-fight win streak right now. Ferguson has had more decisions lately, but he has had finishes lately too. I would think that Ferguson just likes to drag guys through, but this is only a 3-round fight, not 5 rounds. So that changes it. Do you guys think there has been a more competitive fight in the UFC this year than this one?
Go ahead, Evan.
That's a good question, actually. Honestly, you got me on that one. You got the brain starting to work. I got to think about that one. It's because, like, I think a lot of people have just been begging for this Oliveira-Ferguson fight that, like, we've been just wanting it so bad, and it's just such a good stylistic matchup. Who else? Who? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think anything. I just think this fight is just, like, the only other fight that I really, like, enjoyed, like, the whole styles make fights kind of thing, was when Wonderboy fought Vicente Luque. I just thought, like, they both kind of had such a fun, you know, kicking style, you know, just, it just seemed like, a good style. But, I think this fight takes the cake.
I want to say this fight, but this fight didn't happen this year. I was going to say the Wally Zhang and Joanna fight was a good matchup. That was a good fight. But that fight didn't happen this year. That fight happened in 2019, huh? So.
Yeah.
So I would say Felder and Hooker was a good matchup. Stylistically, it was a good fight. It was a lot of back and forth action. I thought the wrong person won that fight. But I think this fight with Oliveira and Ferguson is definitely going to be a good stylistic fight because they both can do everything. But I think the person that can control the fight on the ground is going to win this fight. I think they probably too evenly matched in the striking department. I think whoever can take the guy down, establish some kind of control, and maybe go for some submissions, I think I would lean towards them winning the fight. But we're going to pick this fight. We're going to give our predictions on this fight a little bit later. But, yeah, man, this is a very – and I like that Tony is actually giving Charles Oliveira this quote-unquote rub. I didn't think nobody else in the top five would fight him. But remember I said I think Ferguson would give him the shot, and he did, and I like it. So, but like I said, we're going to pick this fight when we do our prediction. So, yeah, man, I would have to go with Hooker and Felder as probably being closely matched to this fight. But I do like this fight, though. Go ahead, Keith.
You're saying Hooker and Felder was a more competitive fight where it was
it was more competitive, but if you look at the matchup,
okay. And what's interesting enough is that's also in the lightweight division, so that just goes to say, I know that doesn't aid my point or any of ours, but just overall, I think I actually made this point probably a week or two ago, but we've all, I think, have said this more or less on the show. We've said it, many, many times. That lightweight is the best division again. Lightweight's the best division.
Yes, it is.
And it's kind of crazy because I'm over here saying that the most competitive fight is between, the number four and the number five lightweight in the world. And then you said, no, Keys, the most competitive fight was this lightweight fight, which was actually between – the number five and the number six in the world at that time. So, another lightweight fight is actually more competitive than this lightweight fight. So that just goes to show you right there. I mean, it's our opinions, but this is the truth. When you really look at it, how many things we predicted on this show, how long we said the lightweight division was the strongest division. We've been saying that since we started the show. And they're still the strongest division. And all these trends that we talk about, I have to point it out. We always say these things, and then it comes to fruition. We, I think Lee said it specifically, but
I think we had all, you know, said that that was a fight we'd want to see. Ferguson and Oliveira was a fight we'd want to see. We said that months ago. And then it came to fruition down the line. And it seemed really unlikely at that time to happen when we did say it. So it came to fruition months and months later. So that's just, you know, that's just one of hundreds of things that we have predicted to happen on this show. Trends, strategies, structures, you know, fights to be made, all get predicted on this show. And it's not, this happens on a regular basis.
Hey, but one thing we need to point out is this fight is at the apex, right?
Yeah.
And it's in a smaller cage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes for more action, baby. Makes for more action. I'm glad this fight is in a smaller cage.
I'm glad too.
I agree.
I'm glad too. We're gonna get to see Davidson Figueiredo fight. Brandon Moreno, we're going to get to see them fight in a smaller cage. It's going to be great. You know what I mean? Chase Hooper is on this card, too. I like Chase Hooper. Chase Hooper got absolutely dominated in his last fight. I forget who Chase Hooper fought in his last fight. He was undefeated.
I mean, he fought Bruce Leroy. Bruce Leroy. Alex Caceres.
And he got dominated. He got dominated badly.
Oh, he got
and
he
was,
got absolutely worked, and it was bad.
And it was
it
was really bad. What? Like when you actually look at it, like Ferguson, like it got boxed up pretty bad. When you look at that, but when you look at the stats, Ferguson actually landed. I was looking at the stats the other day with one of my boys. Ferguson and Gaethje. When you look at the stats. Ferguson actually, the significant strikes were close when you actually look at it. So if you say he landed the bigger shots. I mean, but when you just look at the Chase Hooper fight, though, I haven't seen the stats for it. But I don't even think Chase Hooper was landing anything. I think he was just getting landed on. I think he was just getting landed on. That Alex Caceres was just piecing him to another dimension.
It was actually like really bad because like Chase Hooper, I think literally just throwed like 1-2s, just straight 1-2s, but like he extended so hard on the one and then hoped for the two to land because like they made that fight because they saw that that Caceres had trouble with Cron Gracie in the grappling and his striking is not that good. But his grappling is, and his grappling was the one was he submitted Caceres. So they thought, oh, Chase Hooper should do the same thing. He's got the better grappling than the striking, but it was just not to the level of Gracie, and it proved. But on that point, real fast, I was actually looking at the odds for the fight this week. Can you believe that after getting that beating that Chase Hooper did, he's like a -300 favorite for his upcoming fight?
Well, the thing is, who is he fighting, though? Isn't it a relatively unknown guy?
He's fighting someone that fought recently. Let's see if I can bring up the guy's name real fast. The guy's name is Peter Barnett. And the guy actually went to a decision with Yusuf Salal, which is actually quite good. And, he 11-4. You know, it's not like he's a world beater. That was his UFC debut. I don't know, man. I just think that is pretty crazy after getting your butt whooped pretty convincingly to going to becoming a huge favorite in your next fight. I think like that's just scary betting because how much did you evolve your striking since that last fight is what I want to know because that was back in June of last year. So, honestly, you know what? Or not June of last year, June of this year, excuse me. So, it's only been a few months, some months, for him to develop some setups to try to get it to the ground. But just some thoughts. Just wanted to throw that out there for you guys.
But the thing is, if they have him on the opening fight, So it ain't because in the fight against Alex Caceres, that was the main event of the prelims. So he went from main event in the prelims to opening up the fight card. He on the early prelims, so that says something there too.
Yeah, that was a really bad decision on their part. It was bad matchmaking. But
I think they thought their thinking was if he can look as good against Alex Caceres that he looked against the guy that he beat in his prior fight, then maybe we got something on our hands. If he can't beat Alex Caceres, then we got to reevaluate where he's at in his career. And by telling where he's fighting at on this card, it tells you what the UFC thinks about him. He's opening the early prelims. So basically, he's going to have to work his way back up, which I have no problem with. Some of these guys, you can't shoot them to the moon without, you know, you can't shoot them to the moon and they haven't done anything. Like Chimaev, they trying to shoot him to the moon. You know, they trying to shoot a lot of guys to the moon, but when they get in there against some of these wily veterans, you know, they not where they supposed to be at. And, you know, they find out on the biggest stage and probably like when they fighting on the main card for the first time or their main event for the first time. And, you know, sometimes those lights get a little bright.
So now how about this, right? I'm going to go here real quick. Lee.
Yes, sir.
What do you know about the Anthony? So are you a fan of Anthony Joshua?
Yes and no. But what's up?
Okay, so do you know anything about his fight? He's fighting this Saturday.
Who are you fighting?
Oh, man, I was going to ask you. I saw the name, and I never heard of the guy. And I said, wow, if I've never heard of this guy. If Lee doesn't know who he's fighting, then I definitely don't know who he's fighting.
He's
Brian. But if I never heard of the guy, doesn't necessarily mean what?
His name is Kubrat Pelev. He's a Bulgarian boxer. He's a former European heavyweight champion. His professional record is 28-1. I don't know what belt is on the line. Oh, I guess boxing has too many too many freaking belts. I don't understand. But yeah, that's who he's fighting.
That's what's wrong with the sport. That's what's wrong with the sport. You have way too many champions. Like Anthony Joshua is a heavyweight champion. Tyson Fury is a heavyweight champion. So it's just too many belts. It's too many champions, dog. But this Pulev kid, from what I understand, he's actually supposed to be a pretty good fighter. I have never seen him fight. It's kind of crazy that he's fighting this guy on Saturday, and most people just now hearing about this fight. So that just goes to show you that a lot of people are not interested in this fight. A lot of people want to see Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury, and then the winner of that fight Deontay Wilder, and then you will definitely know who's the baddest man on the planet, the real heavyweight champion. So I don't know this Pulev kid, but from what I understand, he's a pretty good fighter, though. So hopefully Joshua can go in there and do his thing and not get embarrassed like he did against Ruiz, and it keeps the Tyson Fury fight alive for 2021.
I mean, I think we all hope to see it. I mean, I know I hope to see it. I mean, I would just say one point about that fight is that I just saw them, like, boxing the sources. I mean, I don't know when it first got reported, but I know I first caught wind of the fact that that fight was booked about 2 weeks ago. I want to say it was, like, the day after Thanksgiving, maybe 2 days after Thanksgiving. I
just saw that fight get reported. That was the first time I had caught wind of it, that Anthony Joshua was fighting. I was very surprised that they would just come out on short notice and say, oh, Anthony Joshua, one of the biggest stars in boxing, is fighting in 2 weeks. Like, I just didn't understand the marketing. I mean, I hadn't heard anything or seen anything about the fight anywhere. No, none of his promotion or anything. No Sky Sports Boxing coming out and advertising or any of these guys, nowhere to be found. So, anyways, guys, Rumble Johnson is going to Bellator. Rumble Johnson is going to Bellator. And they said they anticipate him to be fighting in the light heavyweight division. Now, when he was training, he looked so big. Like, these past couple of years since he retired after he lost the rematch to DC, he retired, he was a lot smaller. And Rumble Johnson got significantly bigger in the past couple of years since he's been retired. He looked huge. He looked huge. He was a unit. You know what I mean? Wow. So you would think that he was coming back at heavyweight. I think a lot of people, tons of people thought he was coming back at heavyweight, including myself. But they said he's supposedly going to be fighting at light heavyweight in Bellator. And I'm going to tell you guys this. It won't be long before we see Rumble versus Corey Anderson. It won't be long.
Go ahead.
It's an interesting, I was very surprised to see that. I honestly expected I knew Rumble was coming back. I really thought he was automatically coming to UFC. But I guess they gave him a better deal in Bellator. I don't know, but I like the fight. I like him. I guess I'm very interested to see who they put him up against as his first opponent, because it has to be someone big. Like, you might as well just. I apologize. I kind of, got sidetracked there, Keith. But I don't know if you said anything about Corey Anderson, if that was the fight they should make.
No, I just said I suspected that would be the fight that they would move towards making when he gets signed. Probably. If not his first fight, will probably be his second fight. I mean, it's just kind of sad because Bellator, even with that signing, they really don't have a light heavyweight division. Like, I can't even name. I don't even know. I mean, Ryan Bader was the light heavyweight champion, so technically, I guess he's a light heavyweight. I mean, you have three guys right there, and then there's that other dude that Corey Anderson's fighting. I think his name is Manhoff. Oh no, he already. Did he already fight him?
He already fought him.
Who won?
Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson beat him up badly.
And what was the was it a knockout?
Yeah, it was a stoppage. He just did what Corey Anderson does. He took him down, and he just started landing some elbows, and he caught him clean with the elbows, and they stopped the fight.
Was it in the first round?
I think it was second.
Yeah, Manhoff is just a puncher, man. He don't have any ground skills. Basically, his whole thing is he's going to try to knock your head off your shoulders. So against a guy like Corey Anderson, that was just stylistically a bad matchup for Manhoff.
Okay, so they knew he was going to lose then. So that's what y'all are telling me. They knew he was going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lee, exactly. That was good, man. That was good. Lee basically just said they set Manhoff up, man. That's what Lee just said. He was like, that was the setup. That was a clear setup.
I don't know who they're going to put in there. Because
I think
they're going to
Lee, they're going to put your boy – they're going to put your boy Bader in there.
They haven't even fought two before. Rumble and Bader.
Hold on. Lee, what do you think about that? They're going to put your boy Ryan Bader in there versus Rumble.
I just hope Bader can withstand a flurry because I think probably Rumble will have problems probably with his cardio after the first round. So if Bader can get out of the first round, he got a good chance of winning.
But the thing is, though, the thing is with that is that we haven't seen what Rumble has been doing in the past couple of years. I mean, we've seen pitches, you know, of his training and stuff, but we really don't know how he's, you know, if he's a lot more athletic now. Maybe he's improved his cardio a ton. You know, I mean, he might be in a lot better shape, you know, probably trimmed, you know, he's probably maybe trimmed up, you know, a lot less body fat. Who knows? He might have made some adjustments there. We might not, you know, I don't think we'll see the same guy. I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
I can guarantee this. I bet you he still don't know how to get off his back if he gets taken down.
I'll tell you this. I'll never forget, as long as I live, how Rumble Johnson fought DC in this second fight, and he tried to take the fight to the ground, and he tried to wrestle with DC. I'll never forget this.
The dumbest game
that,
plan.
That, that was probably the worst game plan I have. No, that was the worst attempted game plan because he didn't even execute it because it pretty much backfired instantly. Right when they went to the ground, it was over. There wasn't even any transitioning. It was just over. DC just was like, okay, like, and just took over the fight at that. Once they went down, it was over. And that was probably the most failure of an attempted game plan I have ever seen in any UFC fight, or probably any fight anywhere. That was a complete fail. Oh my goodness. This man Rumble Johnson came in and said, you know what would be a great idea? I knock out guys like Alexander Gustafsson in the first round. You know, some of the best light heavyweights. You know, he knocked out. He's like, I have all this power, but you know what? I think when I fight this, you know, DC was an Olympic wrestler. I don't think he was an Olympic champion, but he was an Olympic wrestler, though, right? Yeah, he was an Olympic wrestler. So Rumble Johnson knocked out all these guys. He knows he has all this power. He's like, wow, I could probably destroy DC if I really go that route. I might be able to destroy DC. He won't be able to take these shots. But you know what? He's an Olympic wrestler. I think I can take him down, and I'm gonna wrestle with him on the mat. I'm gonna wrestle with an Olympic wrestler, and we're gonna try that. That was epic. That was epic.
That was dumb.
And at this time, I think it's the perfect time for us to start jumping into our predictions for UFC 256. What do you guys think?
Let's go.
Got my phone. Okay. So, let me pull up the card. I want to say Chase Hooper's on the early prelims. I think he's the second fight.
He's the first fight.
Oh, he's the first fight. I don't know what the guy he's fighting specializes in. So, I'm really not sure about that one. What do you guys want to do? I mean, we only have...
Main card.
Shoot, main card.
Just the main card, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cub Swanson is on this card. You guys know Cub Swanson was on this card?
Yeah, he's probably...
I did not, actually.
Tisha Torres is on this card, too, Lee. Did you know my girl Tisha Torres is on this card?
Yes, I did.
And how come you didn't even tell me about that?
I thought you knew.
Man, listen. I wasn't aware. And Mackenzie Dern is on the card too. My goodness, this is a, they got some good fights on here. Okay, so let's go. First fight on the main card. I'm gonna be the first one. I'm making my prediction right now. You ready? All right, Junior Dos Santos versus Ciryl Gane. I'm taking Ciryl Gane. Okay. Let me look at this real quick. Hold on. I'm gonna tell you why right now. So the reason why I'm taking Ciryl Gane is because I wrote an article about this guy when he was first coming into the UFC, and I said that he was gonna be good. So you remember that I said he was gonna be good, and it turns out that he has been good, and I'm glad just to say that I was right. So let's go back and look at the facts, and we will see it. So Ciryl Gane came into the UFC at 3-0, and he is 3-0 in the UFC so far, and two of those are finishes. Two of those are two submissions and a unanimous decision. Wow, he hasn't fought in a year, though. Wow, he is a year layoff. My goodness, I didn't realize it had been that long. Okay, so this is definitely a huge jump in competition for Ciryl Gane. But I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with him to win because this is my boy, and I wrote an article about him. And I like the young prospect. He's only 6-0, and I just want to see him thrive. He's fighting a guy with way more experience. You know, Junior Dos Santos, I think, former champion, I think. And, you know, he's definitely beaten in that category, but I'm going with my boy because I have faith in him. And I'm going to go with him by I'm going to say second round submission. Rear naked choke.
Okay. I really don't know who I want to go with. I'm leaning towards Ciryl Gane. But I think I'm going to go with Junior Dos Santos. I think I'm going to go with the veteran in this fight. I think he's going to negate Gane's power by probably fighting that distance. Although Ciryl Gane has the reach advantage, I'm going to say Junior Dos Santos uses his ring set, his octagon savvy, uses his experience, and he wins probably a split decision.
Okay, Evan.
I'm definitely going with I don't even know how to say his name. Gane. Going with Gane. It's kind of crazy to think about that. Like, you know, you want to go with the veteran. It's weird to go with someone who has six professional fights against someone who has 29. But Junior's been knocked out in all three of his last three fights. And they weren't pretty knockouts, you know, they hurt, you know, he got knocked out by Francis, he got knocked out by Curtis, and he got knocked out by Jarzynia Rozenstruik. So he got hit, and that concerns me. You know, three straight knockout losses can't be good. I'm going to go with Gane. I think Gane's going to knock him out. I really do. I think he's going to drop him, and then he's going to submit him like he did that one guy in his second UFC fight. He dropped him, and then he got a knee bar. I think he'll drop him and get, like, a first or second round submission.
Okay. Next fight, we have Kevin Holland, number 15, stepping in to fight Jacare Souza. Out the gate, I'm going with Kevin Holland to win this fight. I'm going with the new guys tonight. The new guys are starting off this main card, and they're getting through this main card 2-0. I'm telling you, these dudes are washed. These dudes are done. Dos Santos done. Jacare done. Kevin, the new blood is coming in. The new blood is going to shine. Kevin Holland is going to win by unanimous decision.
Go ahead, Evan.
Right off the bat, agreed. Going Kevin Holland. That's my boy. I've been following him since he was on the Contender Series and then, you know, just his whole UFC career. I think this is a great opportunity for him. I'm very upset because he was supposed to fight Hermanson in the main event, and I will admit I think the Hermanson fight would have been an easier fight for him. I don't know why I feel that way. I just do. The Jacare fight concerns me a little bit because, you know, Kevin Holland, he's great on the stand-up and with striking, but I think I would assume his bread and butter, I think he would say, is his grappling, you know, Travis Luter, grappling, jiu-jitsu. And obviously that's Jacare's thing. Like, Jacare wants to go to the ground. So it's an interesting fight, but I'm taking Kevin Holland. I'm going to agree, and I'm going to go with a unanimous decision for Kevin Holland as well.
Clean sweep for Kevin Holland. I'm going with Kevin Holland for one reason. He has a chance to be Fighter of the Year. If he get five wins, if he wins this fight, that'll be five victories in the year 2020. And although his name isn't the biggest, let's just think back when Israel Adesanya stepped into the octagon and he was really, really active. It put a lot of eyes on him because he was so active. I think the same thing could happen to Kevin Holland. I'm picking Kevin Holland to win this fight via knockout in the third round. I think he's going to overwhelm Jacare with his 9-inch reach. And he has a nice jab. So I'm going with clean sweep for Kevin Holland. We're all going with Kevin Holland. And he's
okay,
a sneaky pick to maybe be Fighter of the Year.
Okay, the next fight, we have Moicano versus, looks like, Rafael Fiziev. I want to say I've mentioned Rafael in an article before as well. Maybe not. His name sounds familiar. But I'm definitely not familiar with this guy. I don't know anything about this guy. If I did write about him, that was a while ago. I may not have, but I have seen his name somewhere. Yeah, I don't know anything about this guy. I'm going to go with Moicano just off the fact that I know enough about him to put some kind of stock into him. I don't really like to blindly pick like that. So I'm going to go with Moicano, probably second round TKO.
All right, I'm going to go with Rafael Fiziev, man. His last fight was definitely he beat DeCasey, who was definitely on a roll, who was actually a pretty good fighter. I know he's 3 inches shorter than McConnell, but I think Rafael is probably riding high off of his win at DeCasey, and I think he wins this fight by split decision over McConnell.
I actually know a little bit about Rafael. If I'm correct, I believe he's a Muay Thai fighter, or yes, he's a Muay Thai fighter, and I believe he's actually like one of the head coaches at, like, if not the top Muay Thai like gym in the world. And so he's legit. He came in, you know, he had a, you know, his UFC debut did not go his way. He got caught by someone that's, you know, quite talented, you know, his, you know, tough dude. But since then, he's come back and got two straight unanimous decisions his way. So I like this fight for him. I'm going to go with Rafael by, I think we'll probably see another decision. Because Hinato is tough dude. He don't go out unless he's foot. I take that back.
Take it back.
You know what? I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back because he got knocked out by Aldo and Chan Sung Jung. So I'm taking that back. I'm gonna go with Rafael by, like, say a second round finish. I'm gonna say like a second round TKO.
Okay.
So we have Now, next up, we have, I have a question. Do you guys want to do Figueiredo versus Moreno last, or do you want to do it now and do Ferguson last?
We can do Davidson versus Brandon.
All right, cool. I'm thinking that's probably the move, too. I'm thinking that's because I still think Ferguson was misplaced on the flyer. He was placed on the bottom half of the flyer. This was a graphic design mistake by the UFC's graphic designers. They put Ferguson on the bottom half of the flyer. He's supposed to be on the top half. And I don't know how they missed it. I have no idea how they missed it. So you probably have to ask them about that. Ferguson is supposed to be on the top of the flyer. But anyways, Davidson Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. This is this fight right here. I'll tell you this. I played as Brandon Moreno in UFC 3 the other day, and he was god-awful. Like, his character in UFC 3 is so bad. Like, I don't even understand who they modeled that after. Brandon Moreno is a lot better than that. Like, I felt like I was stuck in the mud playing as his character. You know, his hands were so slow. His moveset was so random. I was like, I don't even understand who this is that they tried to create, because this is not Moreno that I know. So that's weird. Moreno's my boy. I'm going to be rooting for him in this fight. You know, I'm going to be rooting for him in this fight. But I think I'm going to be I think I'm going to go with Figueiredo. You know, I think Figueiredo is actually going to win. I'm going to be rooting for Moreno. And part of me hope he wins, but at the same time, I think Figueiredo right now, I think it comes down to the fact that Figueiredo right now is just, like, in a state of mind as the champion, and he's just destroying everybody. Like, he's just been, like, he gave us, you know, three title fights this year, going on his fourth, and in all three of those title fights, like, weren't even nearly close. Like, he's just been on such a tear, and, like, I don't even know how anyone's, like, gonna put a stop to that right now. I just don't know. So I'm going to go with Figueiredo. I think Figueiredo is going to win by, I think, third round. I say third round. I'm going to say third round submission for Figueiredo to retain the belt.
I'm going with Figueiredo. And it's just because I think Moreno took a lot of punishment in his last fight. I think this is a quick turnaround for him, probably too quick of a turnaround, whereas Figueiredo took no punishment in his fight. I think he's a fresher fighter. I think going five rounds, I think probably Moreno will start to fade probably by the third round. I think Figueiredo submits him in the fourth round to retain on the championship and throw his name in the Fighter of the Year debate also, being that he would have four title fights in this calendar year, winning all three of them, even though he missed weight in the first fight against Joseph Benavidez. So I like Figueiredo to win this fight via fourth-round submission.
All right, I guess it's me to make the tiebreaker.
No. He's one Figueiredo.
It's two Figgy or one and one?
It's two.
Damn,
both
Evan,
of us got with Figgy.
Evan, man, you got to be. Evan, I caught you lacking, man. You weren't paying attention. I see you.
I wasn't. I admit
you
it.
You weren't listening.
Admit it.
You weren't listening, man. Stop texting Bay. I see you over there texting Bay.
We got two. Both of us going with Figgy, man. On you.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling. You know, I'm going Moreno.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm going Moreno. He's my boy. I've been high on him since before he got cut from the UFC. Like, there's an interview where he won a post-fight speech after he won a fight. I forget which fight it was. I think it might have been the Dustin Ortiz fight, where he said, like, he's like, only one thing is true. I will be champion one day, I promise. And here he is in the main event of a pay-per-view fighting for a world title. I don't know if it's destiny or what, but a young man's getting a title. He's getting that title come Saturday. I think it's definitely going to be a good fight. I'm going to say first or second round finish for Moreno.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, going in.
All right. That's what's up.
Okay, now into my main event of the evening, Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira, the number 4 lightweight in the world versus the number 5 lightweight in the world, who looks like Super Saiyan Goku on the cover art for this UFC event. Oliveira looks like Super Saiyan Goku, the way his hair is, and then the way they like illuminated the graphic in yellow makes him look like he has gone Super Saiyan. I don't know what y'all are trying to say, UFC, but Oliveira, he's gonna do good. But I don't know about him going Super Saiyan, so you just gotta chill on that. He has a tough opponent. So for this fight, man, I'm really conflicted with this fight. You know, I'm really stuck. I think it's easy for us to say Ferguson, you know, based on his last performance, you know, wouldn't do well in this fight.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead, go first.
I'm going Oliveira, man. I'm going Oliveira in the upset. I think one thing that you brought out after the Gaethje fight, I think is a very important point. I think a lot of people really don't take that part into consideration. But I think Tony is a crowd fighter, dog. I think he feeds off the crowd. I think you know, he gets a lot of energy from the crowd. And with this being, with no crowd being there, I think it plays against him and his fighting style. And I'm going with Oliveira, man, because I think it's about time that he go big fish hunting and big game hunting, I'm sorry. And I think this is a good matchup for him. I think he's going to probably be the one to initiate the takedowns and try to get the fight to the ground. I don't think he want to stand and bang with Tony. So I'm going with Charles Oliveira, man, in a split decision. Upset of the night, man. Charles Oliveira over Tony Ferguson.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, you can go.
Cool. I think I'm going to go Tony Ferguson. I hate to say it, but I would love for Charles to win, but I think Tony's got too much on the line here, and I think Tony's just got too much on the line, too much to lose, all of it to win, and I think he's just he ain't going down unless they're, you know, they're putting him out, like unless he gets put out like Gaethje did to him, but I don't think Charles is going to do that. I think we're going to see a great fight, but I'm going to take and it's only a 3-round fight, which is still so weird to me. This is another great fight for me to petition that these kind of fights, these specific ranking type fights, should be 5 rounds. Like that fight should be 5 rounds. There's no question about it. It's Tony freaking Ferguson, and I will tell you exactly another point to add to that. I apologize for going on, but if you go look at YouTube and the UFC countdown for each of the fights, you have the Tony fight, the Brandon fight, and the Kevin Holland fight. Tony versus Oliveira is at like a million plus views, to where like Brandon and Holland are like only in the thousands. And I'm like, he's the co-main, only going 3 rounds, yet the millions of fans want to see him. That's a 5-round fight. I cut myself off. I'm going Tony Ferguson. I'm just going to say decision.
So, all right, Keys.
My thing with this is, so I'm looking at Oliveira's 7-fight win streak right now, and when you look at the guys he fought, I mean, I guess you could look at Ferguson and say he really hasn't fought, like, unbelievable competition either. I mean, he hasn't fought in Poirier. He hasn't fought in McGregor. He hasn't fought in Khabib. He did fight Gaethje. He hasn't fought Dan Hooker. He hasn't fought Felder. I mean, he hasn't really fought most. The reason why I'm naming them off is because Ferguson really hasn't fought anybody in the top five or top six at lightweight besides Gaethje, and he lost to Gaethje. So, I mean, when you look at that, it's kind of puts a damper on Ferguson. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, they both have a win over Kevin Lee. And when besides that, I mean, Oliveira fought Jared Gordon, you know, Nick Lentz, Jim Miller, Clay Guida. I mean, like, these are guys that it's like I would expect him to beat, though. You know what I mean? Ferguson, I feel like I expected him to beat Anthony Pettis. I expected him to beat Donald Cerrone. You know, I expected him to beat Kevin Lee. You know, this is really tough. This is really tough. I'm gonna go with Oliveira too, by third round submission.
Whoa. Hey, I'm calling an audible on mine, man. I'm looking at Charles Oliveira's record, and I'm looking at the guys he beat and then the guys he lost to. He lost to all the name fighters that he fought. He lost to Felder. He lost to my boy Ricardo Lamas. He lost to Anthony Pettis. He lost to Max Holloway. He lost to Frankie Edgar. He lost to Cub Swanson. He lost to Donald Cerrone. And he lost to Jim Miller. Then when I look at the guys he beat, Jared Gordon, Nick Lentz, David Tamer, Jim Miller, Christo Giagos, Clay Guida. It seems like to me, looking at his record, he can't beat the big names, and Tony is a big name. So I'm switching my pick, man. I'm going with Tony, man. I'm going with Tony in a unanimous decision.
And Evan, how did you have Tony? How did you have Tony winning?
Just winning a decision.
Unanimous decision?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cool. Okay, there you have it. There's the picks. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a good card. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I've definitely noticed that our streams have been going up. People have been streaming our show a lot lately, a lot more than usual, a lot more than probably the most streams we've had, you know, out of 2020, you know, in the past month or two. And you know, I definitely appreciate that. So thank you, people, everybody who's been tuning in. And, yeah, that's all I got. Everybody enjoy the fight. Stay safe. Lee or Evan, either one of you have closing words to close out the show. Send the people off.
Go ahead, Evan.
No, as usual, thank you guys for coming to, you know, listen to the show. We, of course, appreciate it. I, once again, will forever appreciate the opportunity to be on here, you know, talk shop with you guys. That's always going to be something I'm very grateful for. But at the end of the day, I just want to say thank you. Everyone stay safe. You know, just love yourself, love your friends, love your family, all that stuff, and just keep doing what you're doing. Can't wait for the fights. And, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man, I'm actually looking forward to this fight card this weekend. Damn, it kind of put me in a tough spot because I got the Keisha Cole Ashanti versus Saturday, too. So, yeah, I'm going to be in a tough spot Saturday, but I'll probably have a fight on my phone and we'll probably have the versus on the TV. But I want to do a shameless plug. If you follow me on Twitter, go read my article I wrote on UFC and they pay issue. It's a good read. I put a lot of work into it. Probably one of my best to date. Thank you, Keys. I think you already read it. Or did you read it? Evan, did you read it?
Not yet, but I will now.
Keys, did you read it?
No, I haven't read it. I just retweeted it and told people to read it.
See, people, you see how my co-hosts do me? You see how they do me? But I ain't even gonna go there right now. Hey, man, everybody enjoy the fights this weekend. Everybody enjoy the fights this weekend. If you follow me on Twitter, go out and read my article. It's a very good read. Tune in next Wednesday. We'll definitely be reviewing this fight card. We'll probably some more news will probably come out between there and next Wednesday. It's always great to be up here with my boy Keys and my man Evan. Like always, stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Practice social distance. Live, love, laugh. I only got a few more weeks to live, love, laugh. Then I got to come up with a new one for 2021. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them. Have one good laugh every day. That being said, Lee and Keys with Evan are closing out this show. Everybody have a good evening. Peace.